Three Sunday nights ago, we began here in Brookside, and we had our United service looking at some Christmas trees, trees in the Bible, which speak about the Christmas message. We were thinking at that time about the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. We also, in Brookside, were thinking about the new tree, or the stump of Jesse in Isaiah. Then we were thinking about Jesus' family tree. That was good fun with 41 children and a few older ones up here with 41 different names and that. And then we were looking also at the tree of cursing, the fig tree that Jesus cursed. And this morning we're looking at the tree of suffering of Calvary. And tonight we come sort of back to where we began in a sense because we go back to Eden, but then we come to Revelation. And one of the things that this brings home to us is that indeed the message of the Bible, there's such an amazing unity. It is all about sin, about God's wonderful love and salvation in Jesus, and then what God is going to do for his people. And that sums up the great message of the Bible. The tree of life gives eternal life from God. It is beside and feeds on the water of life in the new heaven and new earth. A pure crystal river, that flows from the very throne of God and the Lamb. It speaks of perfect life, perfect blessing that Jesus brings to his people. And it's a blessing beyond compare. But before we get there, we have to think, first of all, about the barrier to the tree of life back in Genesis 3. Adam could have taken of the tree of life. He could have enjoyed everlasting life without death. He could enjoy eternal happiness without any suffering. He just had to obey this perfect and loving God in that paradise where God placed him, not take the tree of knowledge, but let God be the one who decides what is right and wrong. But sadly, Adam rebelled. And when Adam sinned, he became corrupted. He now knew evil in his life. And therefore, in this fallen state, he wasn't allowed to take of the tree of life. What would he have become if God had allowed him to take of the tree of life? What would Adam be like if he had lived forever? Or let me put it another way. What would Adolf Hitler have been like if he could have lived forever? Just growing and growing in his evil. And when you think of how evil can grow and grow in people, the thought of these people living forever, and the thought if we didn't know God's grace, what we would be like if we lived forever, is absolutely scary. And therefore, God in his mercy barred the way to the tree of life so that mankind would be separated from his body of sin and experience death. I think one of the passages that really encouraged me is Romans 7, where Paul talks about the good that he wants to do, he doesn't do, and the evil that he doesn't want to do, that's what he does. And I don't know about you, that's my testimony, so much of my life, and I just get so frustrated. And like Paul, I say, who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. And it's only when we're separated from these bodies of sin, these bodies of corruption, in the world to come, that we'll be free to love God and to live as we desire as believers. You must realize, though, that if you're still in your fallen and unredeemed state, if you haven't experienced the salvation of Christ, the way to the tree of life, the way to eternal life, is barred for you. You need to go to the cross, to the tree of Calvary. The second thing we see is the blessing of the tree. And here I'm flipping over to Revelation 22, and the rest of the sermon will be looking at Revelation 22. As already mentioned, the tree of life is the perfect life and perfect blessing that comes from God, that comes from Jesus. The blessing of the tree of life is Jesus. And that's something we need to realize about the world to come. The greatest thing about the world to come is Jesus, is experiencing this wonderful blessing of a sinless relationship with the Lord. The tree of life is rich in fruit, rich in blessing, giving 12 kinds of fruit and a different fruit every month. See that in verse 2. And this speaks of a richness of blessing beyond compare. What will the new heaven and the new earth be like? We don't know. It will be far more glorious, far more wonderful than we ever imagine. I often quote at funerals the words, I think it was of George Phillips or James Phillips, I mix them up sometimes, where who think that the heaven is sort of a consolation prize for those who are unfortunate enough to die, who are Christians. But the world to come will be far greater, far greater. It speaks there of how even the leaves of the tree of life will bring wonderful blessing, described in verse 2 as the healing of the nations. Now, someone has asked, well, why do you need the healing of the nations in heaven? Surely there will be no sickness in heaven. Well, you've got to realize this is very pictorial language. And the point is that in the world to come, we will see a total reverse to the cursing that we see in this world. We'll see a total reverse to this world of decay. The world to come will be a place of perfect healing so that God's people will perfectly serve and worship him. And that is why the world to come is far greater. If you read the story of Genesis, the early chapters, and before the fall, Adam and Eve enjoyed relationship with the Lord and meeting with the Lord in the cool of the day. But in the world to come, our whole life, our whole experience is in the presence of Jesus. He will be the light of the world. There will be no need for the sun. Our whole life will be in that constant communion with him, that perfect world. You know, it is hard for us to grasp just how wonderful this world will be. And I think what the Bible does to try and get across just something of how great it will be is to tell us what will not be there. And in Revelation 7 and verse 15, it says, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in its temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to the springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, can you imagine a world where there's no hunger? Not the slightest bit of pain? No suffering? Nothing ever to trouble our minds? Now, when you think of that, you're beginning to think of a world and a life and experience which is far greater than we can ever know here. But this is the point. That's just a little taster. That's just the negative bit. What will not be in heaven? What will be there in knowing God, in knowing Christ, will be far greater than the fact that there's no pain or suffering or anything like that. The world to come is a return to the paradise of the Garden of Eden, but it's an even greater Eden than what Adam knew and experienced. The blessing will be greater because of how we will know God and be in his presence. That brings us to the third thing, which we see is the access to the tree. This tree of great blessing, how do we partake of it? How do we share it? How can we be sure that we'll be there in heaven and not be among those who will endure the lake of fire in Revelation 20 and 15? And here we have a clear answer. Look at verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Those in the new heaven and the new earth are those who are washed and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Go back to Revelation 7, you know the verses, the great multitude. Who are they? Those who have come through the great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Those who have gone to Calvary, those who have met with Jesus, and those who have experienced his transforming cleansing in their souls. Those who are justified, those who are covered with the righteousness of Christ. So when God looks at them, he sees us as pure and perfect. And the way to the tree of life has to be through the tree of Calvary. As Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. I hope you're convinced of that tonight. And if there's anyone here who's not a Christian, be convinced of that. You will never get to heaven by being Presbyterian. Not a chance. You'll not get to heaven by being good, by being religious. You have to come to Jesus. You have to experience Jesus. But let me say that for those who are Christians. Let's be encouraged by this. Let's be, as it were, strengthened to be willing to share it, because this message is growing more and more unpopular in the world that we live in. You're seen as crazy when you think that way. Let's have the courage to proclaim it and not be apologetic for it, because this is the truth. And this is the truth that the world needs to hear. And unless it hears and believes, it will not have a part in this world to come. Access to the tree of life is, in the words of the hymn, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And we need the cleansing of Christ, as the sinful and the uncleansed will be shut out. Look at verse 15. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, people who are superstitious, not people who are living by faith in Christ. The sexually immoral. Remember how Jesus says, not those who are immoral with their actions, but in their minds. The murderers. The haters, Jesus said. The idolaters. Those who put other things before the living God, who worship other things before Christ. And everyone who loves and practices falsehood. We have to be people of truth. The cleansing of Christ has to be producing those things in our lives. And then one final thing, the warning of the tree of life in verses 18 to 19. And the only hope there is in the full and pure gospel of Jesus. And anyone who seeks to add to the Bible and add to the gospel message is basically saying that Jesus is not perfect, Jesus is not sufficient, as he's revealed in Scripture. We need something more. And that is blasphemy. And yet that is what is taught in many Christian circles today. You need something more. You need this other experience than the Christ of the Word. And we need to be very, very careful. And this last section of the Word of God is teaching us, never go outside of the Word of God for your experience of God or of Christ. Because if you go outside the Word, if you go beyond the Word, or if you take away from the Word, you're going into an area of darkness. If we want to know the reality of Christ in our lives, we must value the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of God. You know, this Christmas time, we think of how the Word came into this world. The Word became flesh. The wonderful thing for us is that in the Word of God, we meet the Word. We meet Jesus. We talk to Jesus. We listen to Jesus. We live with Jesus. Let us, as we think of that this Christmas time, have a passion for more and more of the Word. Faith in Jesus is faith in his word. That is very clear. People will talk about a faith in God, but say, oh, I'll not believe this or that part of the Bible. Jesus believed the Bible. Jesus trusted the Bible. And faith in Jesus means faith in his word. How can we be trusting God if we don't trust what he says? Let's be people who are confident in his word, because it is the infallible, inerrant word of God. And life in Jesus is life in his word. Jesus in John 15, in that picture of the vine and the branches, spoke about how he and his word would dwell in his people. It's as that word of Christ dwells in us more and more that we're transformed and experience the wonder of Emmanuel, God with us. And isn't that the wonderful thing? I love Christmas. I absolutely adore Christmas. I know for some folk it is difficult, and I understand that. But you know, the wonderful thing is, Christmas can be every day. For the Christian, Christmas is every day. Every day is Emmanuel. Every day is Christ coming to us. Every day is walking with Jesus. And let us from this have a greater determination to meet with Jesus, to talk to Jesus, to live with him in his word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Thank you for being with us tonight. And we thank you for the tree of life, that tree of wonderful blessing. And Lord, we thank you for just the blessing of meeting with your people. And somehow it does give us at times that little glimpse of glory. But we realize at best it's the tiniest of glimpses. And what will be experienced in the world to come will be so great that we will need new bodies in order to cope with the joy of it. So, Lord, we look forward to that. We look forward to that day when we will take of the tree of life, experience the blessing of the world to come, a blessing of worshiping Jesus in a sinless environment. Oh God, we just pray that the thought of that would cause us to be a pure people. Help us to examine ourselves. Help us to see where we have to confess our sin and repent of our sin, and bring us back to Jesus, trusting in him. Oh, Father, grant it, we pray. Thank you, Father, for the refreshments provided at the end. Bless them to us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.